Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm happy to be here again. In case you wonder where we were, we weren't here for the last three Sundays, I believe. And we were all the way to Prince Edward Island about 3 weeks ago, I think it was. And then enjoyed our time very much looking at God's creation. If you want to see inspiring sights of God's creation, is a great place to go. Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island. We did that for our 27th anniversary celebration. And then Sunday before last, we went to Shavers Creek, and last Sunday we were up at Penn Valley Retreat. I was asked to come up and share a topic in a workshop on coping with death. That was a little difficult for us because we revisited a lot of our past and some of the past experiences that we had with losing our babies and all of that. And but it was good. It was good. It was also difficult to see and observe. There was people there that had lost children and spouses, I think, within the last year. And just to see the raw pain of that whole thing that happens to us as human beings while we live here on this planet. Just a tough situation. But the other night I saw this cloud back here in the west, black cloud, but there was a silver, very silver, glowing lining around the cloud. And that's how our lives are many times. We face, while we're here temporarily, we face difficulties in our lives, but there's always, for the Christian, a silver lining. There's a light behind the cloud that makes us want to go where that light is. And that is awesome, I think. So, okay, I want to speak today to you out of Titus chapter 2, continuation from the last time. I don't know if you remember what I talked about the last time. Talk to you about the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Remember we did the memory exercise? How many of you can say the verse with me here today in verse 11? You can read it if you can't say it. Say it with me. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And then it goes on and it's kind of continuation there. We'll talk a little more about the continuation today, hopefully. I talked to you about just a brief overview. Before time, God planned what? One of the things that God planned that is very significant in our lives today. Before time, he planned salvation. So we have the before time dimension of salvation. We have the creation. God made the universe and the earth and all the life forms in the earth. And so time continued. And there we have the Old Testament era when the law was introduced. And then we have the New Testament, where Jesus, whoops, that's supposed to be, just do this way. Jesus showed up, and he introduced what? The day of grace. So we are living in the day of grace. Are you a gracious person? The Bible tells us about Jesus, and I think it was in the chapter that we had in our Sunday school. I think, no, that was the part about, they wondered at the, how did that verse say? They marveled because he spoke with authority. I think that was in our Sunday school lesson today. But in another place, it says, they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And so I got this picture of all these little, when you talk about a procession, you see a bunch of people walking in step, and just got this picture of all these words marching out of my mouth. That's how your words are. They come marching out, and you can't grab them, can you, and stick them back in. And so are the words that are marching and proceeding out of your mouth, my mouth, are they gracious? It's a big challenge. But this verse has a lot. So we have, I'll go back here to the board. We have the day of grace. How long will the day of grace last? Do we know? We don't know the specifics, but we know that the day of grace will be here till Jesus returns, right? And then time stops again. So we have this little section of time that is even smaller than that in light of our eternal state. Our eternal state is what is reality. Your eternal state is who you will be, you know, that's who you really are. You're just living in a temporary state today. And by the way, one of the things that really, and maybe this will help someone here this morning or that's listening in. If you are going through a difficult time in your life, just remember, it's very, very temporary. The blink of an eye, and it's over. And so when we face our loss, that's one of the things that helps me with my perspective. It's only temporary, very, very temporary. And what happens in our lives is very temporary. And so we need that perspective. I just want to throw that out there for whatever it's worth. So the day of grace, somewhere in this day of grace was your conversion experience. You were on the Broadway going on the pathway to hell. And all of a sudden, there was a life change. And God put his grace inside of you. A little bit of himself. Is God gracious? He's full of grace and truth, isn't he? We see it in the face of Jesus. But he put that same component inside of you, hoping that it will grow and you'll become one of those gracious people that people will wonder at the words that come out of your mouth. They are full of grace and truth. And so God help me as a preacher. God help you as a representative of the heavenly kingdom to be, may that be your all-compassing, all-encompassing passion and heartbeat. Grace of God. He put it within us, each one of us, that say we're Christians. And he put it there so that it can grow. A little grain of mustard seed. Drop it in the ground. What did Jesus say? That's like the kingdom of heaven. Little tiny seed. Put it in the ground, becomes this big plant. And there's birds of the air that are flying around. They're in trouble. They're looking for a place to land. Oh, there's a nice tree. They come and sit in that tree. You're that tree. You're that tree of grace. You're that tree of life. They come and sit in that tree. Oh, this is great. Sit down on the branches. They rest there. They find a place of peace. Are you the tree or the bird? God intended for us to be the tree. Plants that little seed. We grow up into this tree of the kingdom. And the birds of the air come there. And they sit there. And they rest there. Beautiful picture, I think. But anyway, so here's your conversion experience. Back to our verse. The grace of God that appeared somewhere in eternity past hath appeared to you. And now you're living in the day of grace. And this salvation is not just a new birth experience, as we will see in a moment. I have to hurry if I want to get through this. I said I'm going to try to be done by 11:30 today. But so the grace of God hath appeared. He saved you. You're born again. And all of a sudden, there's all this stuff that happens in your life. Like Paul was sharing with us in the Sunday school. There is an inspiration inside of you that produces a lifestyle. It produces a saving life, if I can use that term. It bringeth salvation. It's not over when the new birth happens, but there is a lifestyle that flows out of the new birth. There is a well of living water. If the water is living, there is a continual stream, isn't it? If the water is not living, it's dry, or not dry maybe, but it's stagnant and stale. You put, you know, water in a bucket and set it outside, starts becoming stale and dry. You connect that bucket or that pipe to the well that has a pump in it, you have a continual stream of sparkling clean water. Does that describe my life? Wherever I go, just a spray of water coming out. Bringing life, bringing to life the parched ground around me. Everywhere I go, there's just a trail of green. Life, flowers. That's how Jesus was, right? Would you agree with that? Everywhere he went, life. Even the woman, the widow woman, she was walking out of the city crying. She had lost her last shred of security and hope, lost her husband at some point, her only son crying. Jesus said, "Why do you cry?" Because he was the life giver. "Young man, arise." What happened? He sat up, and immediately he did what? Even before he got out of the coffin or whatever he was in or on, he did what? Somebody tell us. I want you to never, ever forget this. He sat up, and what did he do? He spoke. Well of living water. There was something that happened when the Holy Spirit came into that life came into that person through the power of God. The first sign of that new life was he spoke. I would have loved to hear what he had to say. I mean, he was dead for a while. He was somewhere, wasn't he? We all know that. Probably had all kinds of interesting things to say, but the Bible doesn't tell us anything what he said. It just says he spoke. When the Holy Spirit appeared in Acts, what happened? They spake. First sign of the new birth, or of being born again, is that your tongue gets activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a lot of talk today about activation, you know, all kinds of active activation, whatever. But that's a reality for the Spirit of God. When he comes into a person, he activates us, and specifically our tongue. Anyway, so God's grace provides for the new birth. This whole picture is salvation from here to here. And what happened in between here is all the part of salvation. The grace of God that appeared bringeth salvation. So I just wanted to give you that as a review. Talked a little bit about the new birth and the importance of the new birth and what all that means. Grace and action are married together. If the grace of God is in you, you're going to act like it. Amen? Amen. The grace of God comes in, your actions change. Something, you know, it's very varied. There's many different ways that the grace of God activates people, but there's always action associated with the grace of God. Today we have a false teaching that says, you know, as long as my heart is right and so on, everything's good, which is very actually true, because that is in fact how it is. If your heart is right, that is all that matters, because God starts at the heart level, and he changes a person by first changing his heart. So in all reality, that is actually the truth. But there's a deceptive teaching that says that the only thing that matters is if your heart is changed, and it doesn't matter how you live your life. Well, that's false. This passage deals especially with that. So anyways, Grace and action are married together, where one is, the other is also. A person overtaken with grace is a true what? And this might kind of, you know, you might not like what I'm going to say, but it is a fact. The word grace, as interpreted here in the Greek, is charis. So a man or a woman that is overtaken with the grace of God is a true charismatic. Thank you. Yes. That's a great word. When God comes in, he makes us charismatic. Holy Ghost charisma. Let's welcome it with open arms. That's what Peter had. After the Holy Spirit came into him, Peter became a charismatic. Now, I understand, and I'm sorry that it is this way, but there are the false sides of it, and we all understand that. But let's not use that as a, let's not fall into the trap of Satan and say, well, charisma is from the devil, because it's not. It's from the Holy Ghost. The true charisma is from the Holy Ghost. That's why they said about those people, oh, it must be they're drunk, because they were charismatics. So, I don't hear any amens on that, but I think you know what I'm talking about. And I trust you agree with me. You have to argue with the scripture if you don't, because that's what that word means. Activated, charismatic. And I talked to you about two men that went to Ephesus. And they said, here come these two men that turned the world upside down. What are we going to do? And there's nothing they could do. Two men that totally turned the whole city into chaos, so much so that the law was called out because there was a riot going on. Because two men tore down the statue, not literally, but in the spiritual, they destroyed the spiritual idolatry that city was into. They tore it down. They yelled for 2 hours and they couldn't set it back up. That to me puts gas in my spiritual tank. It just thrills me. And if the Church of Jesus Christ today would, you know, get a hold of that, what would happen? Maybe it's happening, but I don't see it too much here in Bedford. And I think that's where we should start. Two men to go into the town of Bedford and create an upheaval because they love Jesus. So much so they don't care what happens to them. They don't care if they go to prison. They don't care about anything except, I know my Jesus. And I know what he wants to do. And I know my mission. I know what he's called me to. And so that's the grace of God. That is this grace. If I could just, you know, if I would consider my life's work done, if I could even get five people to get passionately fired up for the kingdom of heaven. Hopefully, I'll be able to do more than that. But five people, the church at Christian Light or wherever, and please, I hope I'm not scolding. I am very conscious of the fact that, of what I shared with you the last time I spoke. But my passion is to see the kingdom of heaven move forward in front of passionate people. God has chosen you and I as born-again believers to build his church. What am I building? Am I building the kingdom or am I building something else? Challenge for all of us. The definition of grace, I gave you the word there, it's unmerited. God in eternity past decided that he would pour out this grace onto people that have, there is no logical reason for it. We were his enemies. And he said, I'm just going to love you. I'm going to love you so much that it's going to change you. And I don't know what all happened back here before time, but it was established back here already. God, because of who he is and what he wanted to do, he created this process. And you and I are born with our backs towards him, with our fist up in the air against God. We love sin and darkness, and we mess ourselves up and destroy ourselves, and God comes along, oh, here's an opportunity for me to pour my grace into this person's life. not because of who they are or what they've done, simply because I am gracious. I am full of love. I'm made of love. God is made of love. He's not just loving. He is made of love. The whole God is love. So grace is one of those things that flows out of that being of love. Unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. Virtue coming from God. A state of sanctification enjoyed through divine assistance. Notice the word divine. Divine, divine. It's a divine influence. Mercy, pardon. The example of our Heavenly Father's actions. We disobeyed and He loved. Is that what you do? When your children disobey you, you just get a bucket full of love and just pour it on them. And that's a better way to change our children. It's one of the components definitely that has to be there. I mean, there's others as well. We disobeyed and He loved us by providing redemptive actions because He was motivated by grace. I don't know if I said it here, but, you know, a gracious person driving down Interstate 81, and you want to get there, like we all do, you know, 70 miles an hour, and I think I might have told you this before, but I had to, and I think my wife, too, had to repent. Semis. Semi pulls out right in front of you, slam on the brakes, and you're... Or is it, oh, grace just wells up inside of you. Lord, would you bless that driver? Would you pour your grace and love into him? What is our response? What is my response? I know what my response is too many times. But a person that is full of grace, is motivated, activated by grace, he will respond by just, here's an opportunity for love to be manifested in grace. Bring it closer home into our church relationships. You know, we rub shoulders and sometimes it gets a little, you know, you don't like the way it feels. Those are divine moments where God is watching. He brings you into this place and He's watching. What's going to happen with the grace that I put inside of Him? Is it going to come out? Or is something else going to come out? So He orchestrates the path of the Christian, semi, brother, He keeps us running into stuff because He knows it's the only way that it'll manifest itself, is if there's opportunity. So negative experiences are always an opportunity for God. That is so thrilling to me and so exciting when you work with people. You see the debauchery in the world. Opportunity. We tend to put it on the news headlines and say, did you hear about this horrible situation? Where are the people that are saying, oh, do you see this opportunity for grace? Am I being too charismatic about this or not? I hope that this is our, God wants to give us this perspective. He wants to change that part of us that has that negative response when negativity happens. It's always an opportunity. The classic example is the Lord Jesus Himself. Satan intended to destroy the Son of God. God already had planned what He was going to do when that happens. What was it? Resurrection of new life beyond anything you can imagine. He took the very thing that was designed to kill and to destroy the Son of God and brought redemption to you and I. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. Bless you, Lord Jesus. We killed the Savior of humanity. God raised Him for redemption and for our restoration. We hated each other. God loved us. We criticize and judge each other. God extends mercy and pardon or adoption. We refuse to give our offenders. God forgives us while we're still His enemies. $1 million debt. I can't pay. Have mercy on me, Judge. I forgive you. Mr. Such and such went out and found a man that owed him $20. Pay me that thou owest, or I'm going to throw you into prison. $20. He was forgiven $1 million. God does not take kindly to that. He extended way more grace than that $1 million debt that was forgiven. And we refuse, hopefully not, but it happens. We don't want to forgive or release our brother and sister. Doesn't make any sense from the standpoint of grace, does it? We refuse to forgive our offenders. God provides forgiveness while we're still his enemies. We mete out vengeance and you got to pay on those that mistreat us. God lets his sun shine on the just and the unjust. Every day, sun comes up, shines its beautiful, warming rays on everyone. We demand conditions before we release offenses. God initiated release and forgiveness when? Before time, when he knew everything that was going to happen. He already provided for our forgiveness and redemption. My approval rests on performance. Our approval rests on performance. God declares us perfect. Based on what? Somebody following me getting this? Are you getting it? Our approval rests on performance. God declares us perfect by performance? Of course not. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had to save us. Did somebody say? Faith. All you have to do is said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Be baptized on that confession. God says, you're perfect. And the angels rejoice. Hallelujah. There's another one saved. Perfectly saved. Not because he performed, but because he believed. That should raise us out of our seats. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And become charismatics because the grace of God. Grace of God that bringeth salvations. We hear these verses, we read them hundreds and hundreds of times, and we just, the grace of God that appears salvation, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, and we go about our way. The grace of God appeared. Bringeth salvation. See the difference? There's something burning inside. There's a fire that's burning. So much so it can't be contained. Comes out through your vocal cords. Comes out through your actions. Comes out through your wallet. Remember? We are such gracious people that results in so much grace and so much cheerful, hilarious giving, that it's hilarious. We have so much money in our church fund and our school fund. It's totally hilarious. That's how God operates, right? Look at the apple trees this year. Look at your tomato plants. You know, we plant one. If we would do it, probably, we'd plant a seed. Well, we'll give him one tomato. That has plenty of seeds for next year's crop. No. One tomato seed, you have hundreds of tomatoes, possibly. One apple tree out of one little seed, bushels, a hilarious amount of fruit. There's way plenty for everybody. That's what God wants, he's hoping to see from my life and your life. When he puts that same grace, that same benevolence inside of us, he's hoping for bushels of hilarious amounts of fruit that is just coming out. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said rivers, or when he said there was a well of living water. I just get this picture of this big pipe of just water pouring out. thousands of gallons per minute of water just pouring out, rivers. That's just, I'm talking about an 8-inch pipe. What about all of the springs and the rivers that are flowing? Rivers of living water. May God baptize us with His Holy Spirit with that same life-giving grace. I hope He turns your life upside down. I hope He turns my life upside down. That's what we think we're up. God sees us as upside down. We think we're walking around, right side up. God says, you guys are upside down. You need to be turned upside down and start walking on your head. No, not that way, but you get what I'm saying. So, anyways. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Did you? Anybody? No, we didn't receive the Spirit, did we, by the works of the law? But by... Say it. Hearing of faith. You receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Now, lest you think that, I'm one of those that is about whatever, the emotions and the charisma and all. I am not. I'm one of those that believes in that as the starting point for all believers. And the continuing point for all believers that produces what you will later see in this chapter. Lots of practical applications of what the grace of God actually does in people's lives. But we have adopted the idea that, all of that is just baloney. Oh, when the grace of God comes in, it changes you, starting with the heart. Because God knows. What's in the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? Hope I'm not belaboring my point, but we have to get this right. If the Church of Jesus Christ is going to go forward in Bedford County or anywhere else in the world, this one we must get right. If Jesus Christ will build His church the way He wants to build it, it starts with what I'm telling you about. It starts with the church at Christian Light is the most gracious place to be on the planet because they are filled with the grace of God. Would you like to be in a place like that? Oh, it's so gracious there. So safe there. Those people are just full of grace. And when Mr. Unsaved walks in the door, he falls on his face because the grace of God is here. There's so much of God here. He's like, I have to get on my face. That's the picture you see of the grace of God and of what God wants to do. And God is, He works with what He has, but He would like to see more grace coming out of my life. And of course, all of us together. Salvation that appears, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared. Salvation is a rescue. You are drowning. You're out in the middle of the ocean, thousands of miles from the shore, and you're treading water, and there is no hope for you to be saved. All of a sudden, salvation comes. God throws out his safety harness. He pulls you in. He rescued you. So what are you going to do? You're going to swim for shore? You're going to jump out of the boat and swim for shore? Or are you going to stay in the boat with the Savior, the one that saved you and you're going to, or, you know, this is another picture that I want to give you. Somebody was, forget if I read it or heard somebody say, when Jesus is Lord, he says to you, get in the trunk of the car. And he doesn't make you do it. He just says, if you want to follow me, get in the trunk. Give me the keys. Closes the trunk, and Jesus drives the car. Is that what you signed up for? What was that? No. When you hand the keys over to Jesus, Jesus is the one that drives the car. He is the one that takes you where he wants to go. We like to put Jesus in the trunk or the back seat, don't we? Jesus, I'm going to go, you know, over here and do such and such. Would you please bless me? That is wrong. You say, Jesus, what do you want to do? And I'll go with you. If we can get that straight, if you young people, I don't care who you are here this morning, if you get that one straight and solid in your head, I'm not too worried about anything else. You're just going with Jesus. How many of you know Jesus is he's a safe captain, isn't he? He knows where he's going, and he knows everything. He knows everything from the beginning to the end of your life, not only of the universe, but of your life in specifics. Why wouldn't we give him the keys? Why wouldn't we say, Lord, I'll just go with you? I guess I didn't study enough to make it compact enough. But I'm going to close, and I don't know if I'll be back with this subject or not. I was going to talk to you about all of the things that chapter 2 talks about. You can go home and read it. And to me, it looks like you have verse 11 there? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, you have, that's in the center. That's in the hub. That's the hub. And everything else coming out, women teaching the younger, you know, men being patient. I told the church at Shavers Creek, as we get older, we get more patient. Is that true? I've watched it go the other way. But it's intended to be that way. When the grace of God is in us as older people, we get more and more gracious and patient. The longer time goes on, that's how it's intended to be. So all of that reflects back on the grace. Father, we thank you. I feel very unfinished here this morning, but I pray that you will take this little bit of bread and fish and multiply it abundantly. And Lord, where I've spoken in any way in carnality, I ask your cleansing and forgiveness. And I just pray that you would help us to come to the end of ourselves, hand the keys over to you, and let you drive the car. Oh, Father, teach us what that means. I pray that your grace would consume us, so much so that our very bodies that we're living in would be animated and activated and empowered by your grace and the Holy Spirit and all of the things that entails. I pray that you would rebuke the enemy where he's trying to snatch away the word even now. I pray that you would cut him off and drive him away from us, and may our focus and our eyes and our hearts and our spirits be drawn towards you and into your very presence. Grace of God, that grace that you extend to us, may it reciprocate out of our lives to every person that we meet, wherever we go. Rivers of living water flowing out of this place, out of this tabernacle, out of this body that you have purchased with your own blood. I want to release this burden to you, Lord. I just pray a special blessing over each one that's here this morning. May you impact each one of our lives. I pray you would expose any idolatry and darkness for redemptive purposes. Impact us with the power of your Holy Spirit. We would become true charismatics, that the world may see us for who you have purchased us to be. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.